Blog Talk Radio.
Success requires knowledge, endurance, and determination. The race is not for the swift, but for those who will endure. Welcome to the Kickstart to Your Many Achievements. This is the Coaching for Success Show with the Chief Visionary, Natasha Davis. What's your question?
Well, hey, good morning. It is your Chief Visionary, Natasha Davis, right here on Coaching for Success, and I am super excited to be giving you the tips, trends, and techniques that you need to be extremely successful. You know, right here, we're always talking about the things that's going to help advance your business, that's going to move your business forward, that's even going to also show you the difference between what you're doing very well and what you're doing not so well, the things that maybe you should consider stopping. So we get to have fun today, and I'm going to do a one-on-one with you guys and answer a lot of questions that may have come up over the past few weeks. And I said, you know what, I want to take the opportunity to share some answers with you, because if one person and two persons and three persons are asking the same question, then we already know that this is a question that's within the business community, right? So we're really, really excited to be able to, you know, talk about some important things. And one of the things we are going to talk about today is customer buying behavior. You know, how do you make the right decision with customers? How do you make the right decision, you know, to help customers make the right decision, choice when you're making a buy? And how do you know they're ready? When do you put yourself in position to say, you know what, I know this customer is hot and ready, and I know what to say to them in order to get them closer and closer to what we call what? The yes. Okay. All right. So what we're going to talk about today is those customer buying behaviors and basically the five stages that occur in customer buying behavior, those five stages that happen with everyone, including myself, you, other businesses, large companies, small companies, independents, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's even as trivial as when you're in the supermarket, right? So we'll use the example of you go grocery shopping and you need to pick up your items, okay? And let's go to the produce department. And you're going to have to choose between the produce. Now, let's get very elementary and say, if I'm in front of a bunch of tomatoes, you know, you have Roma tomatoes, you have cherry tomatoes, you have beefsteak tomatoes, right? We're not necessarily saying, well, I need all three. We're saying, okay, for the purposes I'm going to use them for this week or, you know, for the next 2 weeks or so, here's what I need to buy. Do I buy Roma? Do I buy cherry? Do I buy both? Do I buy beefsteak? What am I going to be using it for? So keep that in mind as I'm proceeding forward, okay? Let's talk about stage one. Stage one is talking about awareness and recognition of the problem. Whenever someone comes to make a purchase, they're coming to make a purchase anywhere because either they have a problem or they have a need, okay? And sometimes those two can be interchangeably used. However, it's either I have a problem that needs to be fixed or I have a need and I need the deficit to be removed, okay? So when you have a customer that comes in and they say, okay, I have a problem or a need. You as the person that's selling the product or the service, you have to get to a place where you identify or you can quickly find out what is the problem, what is the need, and oftentimes it just takes asking the question. That's all that it takes, asking the question. Sometimes you have to get to the place where you get straight, okay, tell me exactly what you're looking for. Tell me exactly what you need. Tell me what's missing, right? What's missing so that we can go ahead and fix the problem. And sometimes you have to say, yeah, because if you don't tell me what the problem is, I don't know what to do to fix it. So you have to get to that place. And sometimes people can articulate exactly what the problem is, okay, and sometimes they can't. So we just have to try to help them along the way. So your first step in any buying, selling mode is I got to find out what is the problem and I have to find out what is the need. And a lot of times it depends on what the purchase is or what's happening. The need or the want may supersede the problem. You know, and let's go down. Let's take this for example, okay? And then this is a common one used, so we're not, you know, talking about anything that's different. Let's take, for example, you know, to lose weight, okay? And this is just a real simple, easy one, right? So someone that wants to lose weight, So the problem is, okay, no, let me back up. The need is, oh, I'm a little overweight or I'm very overweight, I need to lose weight. Then there might be a problem. The problem might be the doctor just told you you got hypertension, you have high cholesterol, you have diabetes, you know, your lungs are giving in on you, things like that. That will be the problem. Now, I'll guarantee sometimes it might be that the problem will supersede the need or the need may supersede the problem. Now, if the person is more like, I need to lose the weight because I have this very awesome wedding or this event or, you know, I'm going to go on vacation or something, then that's a need. Now, the doctor could be sitting there all day long talking about, you know, hey, listen, you got to lose weight because you have a problem. You have a problem. Their person might say, well, you know what? The solution to that is give me a pill. Give me a pill to fix it, and then I'll be okay. Then you have the other person that's saying, hey, listen, you know, I don't want to take pills. So therefore, in that instance, the problem will supersede the need. Does that make sense? So you got a problem and you have a need. Keep in mind that one may not always take over the other, or just because it's a problem doesn't mean it's going to be important. So you want to go to what's important, and that's the point I'm trying to make. Go to what is important to the person. That's the only thing that really matters at the end of the day, what is important to the person, and you can go from there. All right, cool? So that's number one, that's stage one, getting to the place of understanding what the problem or the need is. And when you as the seller recognize that that is a problem or a need, you can then help them to make the sale, all right? And the individual may or may not tell you. You may have to pull it out of them. You never know. Here's a second stage of what's going to happen in the buying process. There's going to be a search for information. Now, either the search for information would have happened prior to the person, you know, showing up in front of you, or it's going to happen at the time that they're dealing with you, or it's going to happen after they've walked away and said, let me think about it. All right? Now, there's a couple dimensions here. As a business, your company should already have proper branding and positioning. And the product or service that you're proposing to offer should have some form of positioning. Because information. They look for information. They will call their friends. I don't care if they're computer savvy or not. They will call their friends and ask their friends and family, what do you know about X? Or can you find me some information on X? So don't be misled or, you know, blindsided to the fact that people are looking for information. Either they're going to look for it before they come to you, they're going to look for it while they're with you, or they're going to look for it after when they say, let me think about it, or let me do some research. Now, in this case, it depends on the need. It depends on how dire the need is. If it's a super important need where somebody's like, my pipes have just ruptured, I need a plumber, they're not going to do, I'll think about it. They're going to go to the most reputable plumber that they've heard on TV, they've watched an infomercial, a video, they've seen all over Facebook, Twitter, any one of the social medias. They've had their friends use a plumber before. When it's an immediate or emergency, they're going to go to what comes first to mind. This is why it's important to be top of mind in your industry and in your marketplace. Your industry is, you know, what you specialize in. The marketplace is the people who will most likely buy your stuff. So you want to be top of mind in your marketplace and in your industry. So if something does happen, the first top two to three people they're going to think of, you want to be in that top two to three. Right? That's important. And so this is where this comes into play in stage two. If I go to, and I'm going to go back, let's go to something that everybody knows, okay? You're going to say McDonald's versus Big Mac. If somebody says, I could really go for a cheeseburger, do you think they're going to go to Burger King or they're going to go to McDonald's? The 9 out of 10 times, and I want to say 10 out of 10, but nothing's absolute, but 9 out of 10 times, and which is really 10 out of 10 in this case, they're going to go to McDonald's because top of mind, the person that is known for cheeseburgers, hamburgers, Whoppers, all that other, I'm sorry, not Whoppers, Big Macs and all that stuff, is McDonald's the Golden Arches. It doesn't matter who else came in the game. If you really take an inventory, Burger King or Wendy's, those three big boys, Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, they have not, Burger King or Wendy's, they did not enter into the cheeseburger space because McDonald's has already dominated that spot. So they're like exhausted. Any more marketing energy, dollars, and resources into trying to capture that place. We're going to find our own place, okay? We're going to find our own niche. And so, therefore, you have the Big Mac is McDonald's, the Whopper is Burger King. You know, depends on what you're looking for. This is what you're going to predominantly get. So this is the same example, what I'm talking about. If you need something, whoever has top of mind, that's the person that's going to get the sale, regardless of what is going on, unless somebody personally had a bad experience. So researching the information, and I'll tell you some things. In this day and age where we are, having a video presence to your brand is very critical. It's important. It's very important because in this day and age, people necessarily don't want to read a whole bunch of stuff. They actually want to see some things. They want some testimonies as well. So they want videos. Quick, short videos, not that long 20-minute stuff. They want quick, short infomercials and videos. And I'll tell you that 73% people, when there was a consumer study was done, and 73% people are more likely to make a purchase after watching a video on the company that they're interested in. 96% of people are watching that stuff on their desktop, but 76% are watching it on their mobile device, which means you need to have video that's mobile friendly. Put that stuff on social media. Put it on YouTube. Put it on Ustream, Livestream, Periscope. Put it somewhere so when people can easily retrieve it. Because 73% are more likely to make a purchase after they've watched a video on the company that they are interested in or that has pursued them. They're going to go find details, and you want them to find as much good information as possible when they're looking for you, all right? So that's stage number two. They're going to look for some information. They're going to do some research. Stage number three that happens is in their mind. Now, this could be a very quick stage, or it can be a very lengthy stage. Depends on what's happening and what's going on. Let me tell you, it's called the evaluating for alternative. Especially service-based business, and that's some of the things I specialize in, is service-based businesses, because it's very challenging to convert and get services sold as opposed to products. Products, I can touch it, feel it, see it, easier to connect. Services, it's like, I wonder if this will really solve my problem. How many people have used it? How much experience does the person have? How many good results have come out? Is anyone saying anything? Was there good comments, bad comments? You know, as a service-based business, a part of your business model and your sales model must be getting testimonies, because that is the only way that is, not, let me not say that, that's one of the biggest ways to really make your service feel like a product, getting testimonies. When you finish providing service to a client or you're midway through it, ask them for an experience statement, an endorsement, a testimony, anything, and you want them to either put it in a letter, and you can put that letter up on any social site. You can have them go comment on like a discussion board, but you want to get conversations rolling. LinkedIn is one of the great social networks that has done this. They've made it very easy. They put people in a position to say, hey, make a recommendation, or what do you think about this person? You can go write a comment. LinkedIn is a great place to go look for comments as well. So when people are looking for, they're evaluating for alternatives in stage three, the couple things they're evaluating for, of course, we already know, they want to know about the price. Are they getting the best deal for the price? Biggest bang for their buck. They also want to know, are they going to get what they paid for? Or is this person just, or is this company or person just saying it? Okay, that's what they're looking for. They want to know about the experience of other users, and they also want to know how easy is it for them to utilize the service or product. You know, how much work is this thing going to be for me to use it? And that's important to know. How hard I got to work to use the product or the service or gain access to it? You know, and I'll give you an example.
you know, as a consultant and a leadership coach, when I do one-on-one coaching with executives, these executives are very busy. They don't have time to sit down and mull over and play around. You know, you got to get to the point. So when someone is getting leadership coaching, one of the things they're thinking about is, my time is already compressed. I have very low time, but I do need to work on this particular part of my skill set. How much time is this going to take away? And so you want to be able to create products and services that's going to be an added advantage and is not going to be a negative. You don't want it to be that people are saying, well, I got to meet with them every week, and then I got all this homework, and then I got this, and then I got that, and then I got to go on and find this. You want to make it very user-friendly. And that's the same thing. When they're looking for the evaluation for alternative, that's one of the things. How easy is it for me to access and use your products and services? How much work do I have to go through to get use of it? When I need to make a payment for my products or services, how hard do I have to work? You know, and those are things that sometimes we as business people, we don't think about. You want to put yourself in the shoes of the buyer and feel the experience head on, okay? And then they're also, of course, like I said, they're going to check to see, you know, has anyone had any bad experience? Am I going to get what I paid for? Am I getting the biggest bang for my buck? Now, evaluating for alternatives can happen before the person's in front of you. It can happen during, or it can happen after when they say, well, let me think about it. All right, so we got stage 1, 2, and 3 knocked off. Stage 4, which is, this is the easiest one, because once you've gotten to stage 4, it's like, you want to take a breath, and that's called the purchase. The individual actually makes the purchase. Now, here's what happens, and I'll caution you. This is the easiest one, but it's also the most dangerous one. Okay, very dangerous, and I'll tell you why. This is where people get complacent and lackadaisical. The purchase has been made. I don't think I need to do anything else. Customer's happy because they bought it. Not true. Not true at all. Here's where the issue then comes in. Once the person makes that purchase, or the company buys your product or service, right, or retains you, all eyes are on you. See, people are quick to collect money, but they're not quick to expense money, right? So when somebody puts their dollar out, that clock is ticking, the magnifying glass is up, and they're looking to see, okay, let me see if I can really, really trust you. Okay, so that's where people are looking. Now, regardless, of course, they trusted you enough to make the purchase, but there is that tinge of, is this person going to mess around because now they got my money? Are they going to work as hard for me as they did when they were trying to cultivate me? And the answer should be 100. You should even work harder. You should even work harder. The worst thing you can do is lose a customer because you were being lazy or you were being complacent, okay, and ungrateful. And that's really a place of ungrateful. You get too comfortable. It's kind of like you go to a restaurant, and when they just open, everything's great, the food is great, and all this other good stuff. However, once they start filling up, the quality of the food goes down. And when the restaurant over, a year or so starts losing customers and they go back to ground zero, they're wondering, what happened? How could this be, you know? And it's like, well, what did you think was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen? You know, you can't get lazy on the purchase. Now, the purchase, again, like I said, it's the easiest one. It's the take the payment. It's the breathtaking one because the person has developed some form of trust, or the company's developed some form of trust with you, and they're saying, okay, I'm going to entrust you with my problem or with my need. I trust you to solve my problem or remove the deficit. Okay, so they've given you that trust. Now, stage 5 comes right after you've made the sale, right after they've paid the money. This is what happens post-purchase evaluation. I just talked about this. This is where buyer's remorse comes in, where people are like, you know, they want to either get a refund or they're like, oh, never mind, I made a mistake or whatever. This is, like I said, the clock's ticking, magnifying glasses are up, all eyes are on you. Post-purchase evaluation is where they're thinking, should I have done this purchase? Did I make the right decision? Maybe I should have checked for other alternatives. And see, what will happen is even after they've made the purchase, people will go and look to see if they could have got what they got cheaper, even after they have made the purchase. they'll look to see, okay, maybe if I pay the same amount of money, could I have gotten more for what I paid? They're going to do it again. I don't know why, but they're going to do it again. We're human beings. We just function like that, right? So they're going to look, and they're going to check, and they're going to have that question with the eyes on you. What you want to do is you want to make sure that you're providing outstanding service, top-of-the-line service, and you want to make sure that you are very subtly reminding the person they made a very good decision by making the purchase with you. How do you do that? You solve their problem and you remove their deficit. The last thing that you can do is once they made the purchase, you don't communicate with them for days or for weeks. No. You want to get back with them the next day or the day after and be like, okay, here's where we are. Here's what we're doing. We've already done this. You know, one of the things we do is, okay, we'll reach back to our client. We'll say, okay, we've done our debriefing process. Here's where we are. The next step is this. Expect to have this. Expect to find this. Because people are still nervous and they're like, whether it's a big, especially if it's a big purchase or a small purchase, doesn't matter, but especially if that purchase was a large they're going to want to know, my gosh, I need to see my money back. I need to see the results. I need to see the problem solved. So you don't want to, after you've made a purchase, you don't want to go off the grid for weeks on end. You have to have a system in place that says they've made their purchase today. You want to reach out to them in 24 hours, whether it be by email, and the first thing you want to do, or a card or whatever, is a thank you, and restating that they made a very good decision. You know, thank you for choosing to allow us to provide you with your product or your service, right? You made an excellent decision. It's okay to tell them that we're going to, you know, we are here, we're going to work and do exactly what we said we're going to do. We're going to fix and outline the problem. We're going to correct, outline the need. We're going to provide you whatever it is that they paid you to do. In your thank you letter, thank you email, whatever it is you do in your sales process, okay, you need to restate what you are going to solve or what you are going to correct and provide. Give them the reassurance that they made a great decision, and then you want to continue to make sure that your communication is effective. Once you start solving problems one by one, you can back off of the every day or every other day communication. You can say, okay, I'm going to reach back to you in 4 days or 5 days, and on Friday at 6 p.m. or 5 p.m. or 10 a.m. or 12 o'clock, I'm going to communicate with you however, and we're going to discuss whatever. Then you set scheduled times of when you're going to follow up with them. And then when you make the appointment, don't miss the appointment unless you made an agreement that the appointment will be missed. Okay, so you set up your schedule. They don't want to feel like they've forgotten, especially if you're a company and you take on multiple clients. Your clients should feel like they are the only one. I want you to hear that. I don't care if you have 20 clients, 40 clients, 100 clients with 50 staff. I don't care. Your goal is to make that client think that matters. Okay, and that's your job. That's your job to do that. So those are basically your five stages of buying behavior. You want to make sure that you understand them, and you understand that people are going to flow through each and every one of them. They're going to process through the recognition and awareness of the problem and need. You need to recognize it. You need to be aware of it, but they also recognize it and aware of it. They're hoping that you do. So recognition and awareness of the problem or the need is stage one. Stage two is they're going to go searching for information. This is where they're going to do research. Now, that research is going to happen before, during, and or after. It's going to happen. Regardless of what you say, it's definitely going to happen. The next stage is going to be where they're evaluating for alternatives. Can I get more bang for my buck? Am I going to get what I paid for if I choose to make the purchase? Are there any significant complaints out there that people, they're not getting, you know, what they paid for? They're going to look for alternative options, or they're going to say, well, you know, if I pay less, can I pay less? Or if I pay the same amount of money, can I get more? You know, you want to make that evaluation. They're also evaluating if they can work with you. Do I like this personality? Do I like their skills? Do they have good follow-up skills and follow-through skills? Are they on time or are they always late? How do they look? Do they measure up to my standards? Can they represent my company well? Can I proudly say, this company, I do business with this company? This is
you know, a myriad of things that's going to be going on. You want to make sure you present yourself well, your brand as well. Another thing is if you have some video, get an infomercial done. Get something out there that talks about your company, what you do, what you solve, and how you've been helping people. Get some testimonies, okay? Because like I said, 73% more people are likely to make a purchase after they've watched a video. Alrighty, and then number four is the easy one, but it's also the most dangerous one, which is the purchase. Once they make the purchase, the clock starts ticking, magnifying glass up, all eyes are on you. And what they're looking at is, I've given you my money, will you still treat me good? Will you provide me with the product or service and the quality that you promised? Remember that, so don't get lazy. Don't get idle-handed. Don't get sloppy when you get to the purchase zone, all right? And, of course, number five, the post-purchase evaluation, the buyer's remorse. This is where that shows up. You want to ameliorate the buyer's remorse. Don't even let it come up immediately after they've made that purchase. You know, go on, go get things started. Send them a card, an email, a letter, anything the day after, thanking them for their purchase, for trusting you, also reminding them, this is what you guys will be doing, and highlight the problem and the need that you said you're going to fix and you're going to solve. Make it very clear. And then you want to maintain very, very timely communication and active communication for the first week or two, and then you can start scaling back once you get heavier in. Let people know what you're doing. We've done our debrief. We've done this. We've packaged the product. We've done that. This is on the way. This is what we're doing. Make sure people stay up to date and informed. And then once people are more comfortable now, you can scale back and do schedule calls. So once a week or, you know, schedule emails. I'll follow up with you in X time. So there are your five stages of buying behavior. Wanted to talk about that so you can really beef up the way that you, you know, solidify your customers, attract customers, things of that nature. Beef up your marketing, beef up your branding strategy, put a little bit more structure and just a little bit more oomph behind what you're doing. Keeping these themes in mind, because the five stages of buying behavior, it is with any company, with any product or service, with any age, any gender. All people go through this. It's just natural. Our brains are trained to do this. We're just built like that. We're just built that way, okay? So think about that. All right, guys, I want to say a great big thank you to our promotions partner, 106 Live Radio. If you haven't had the chance to log on to 106liveradio.com, you're missing out on some really great treats. We have a lot of shows, a lot of information, great music, great details, things that's happening over there. So take the opportunity to log on to 106liveradio.com, and you'll also be able to hear your chief visionary there on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. with the five simple steps to a successful business. All right, and don't forget, Visionary People has their own app. You can download the app for free from the Google Play Store. And it's Visionary People. Grab the app from the Google Play Store. Make sure you stay connected with yours truly. Your chief visionary is located on visionarypeoplearise.com. That's visionarypeoplearise.com. You'll find all the information to connect with me there. And definitely looking forward to helping and serving and providing you guys with more information. So stay connected right here on Coaching for Success, where we're giving you nothing but the trends and the tips, trends, and techniques to be very successful. And I encourage you guys at all times to be productive, be progressive, and without any hesitation, be 100% successful. I'll see you soon. Stay connected. God bless.